Hello and welcome to GoGo Radio, found exclusively on GoGo.com. My name is Darren Boy, and in this show, we are going to discuss how to plan effectively. To learn more about me and my background, please be sure to check out my GoGo profile. And if you have any questions you'd like to ask me, please use the question and comment box below. All right, let's get started. Well, planning is the most critical and most important part of being able to deliver successfully to a project, and is the main, and poor planning is the main cause of project failure to date. So really, how I tackle it, I really take 8 steps to try and cover everything, to, you know, to absolutely get to everything and to cover each side. Obviously, you can't cover everything, but like, the more you plan, the more effective you will be. The first part of project management planning process, which I do, is number one, is to ensure a clear product specification and also to agree on it. Clarifying the product specification or product schematics, as I mentioned in the Ensuring Effective Project Management in the Real World course on the GoGo.com site, really is the number one priority for you to do. So what you're going to be providing, really, to have a clear understanding of the objectives and the details. So before you allocate your resources and before the client allocates their resources to it, so everyone is singing off the same hymn sheet, so to speak. There are many ways which you can do this. Obviously, there's a classic way of going with a product description title, which in Prince 2, which they use, product schematics, which is more diagrammatical form. But again, you know, it's really important to try and get this. This can also be called terms of reference, which the project specification really is looking at what the project aims to achieve and the criteria and flexibilities involved. So things like its parameters, the scope, the outputs, the sources, the budgets, the time scale when you want particular products to be completed, who's going to be involved in it, and what kind of target and what kind of scope are you going to be targeting. It may be that certain products have different time scales, so with each project you do, which is often broken down into stages, and the stages are broken down into work packages, and the work packages are broken down into activities, and then the activities at the last minute is broken down into tasks. Different activities might have different time scales. Certain things might be more critical than others, so you might have to spend more time on it. Usually a project manager should really consult with the other stakeholders, and most importantly, agree the specification, not only with your superiors, but with also the project management team, and also in some cases any governmental organizations or any relevant authorities, if the quality is going to be assessed or it needs to reach a certain level of specification. In order to do this, this might involve several copies, several drafts of it being put forward before it can be properly agreed. It is also in the project manager's interest to get this right and to show effort and time in this particular aspect, even though that they're being pressured by the client to start and everything, because it really properly protects the project manager from being held to account as a result of an off specification, or even give the project manager a little bit more power if the client requests for change. Once you have this product description clearly clarified, everyone understands, and it's been agreed by the project management team, the stage manager if necessary, and the client, another important thing is also to obviously get it signed off. There's no point having verbal agreements and things like that, because, you know, if it all goes wrong, then they're just gonna deny it. If you have their signature on a piece of paper with a product description, or maybe if they've sent it to you an email confirming this, then that's as good as a signature also. There are many templates also online which you can use this. I know on the APMG site for Prince 2, there's even a product description guideline which you can download for free without being a member or anything, so that's very useful as well. But really, a product description really should include the date, a description of the purpose, the aims, the deliverables, the parameters involved with each particular product. So as we said, the budgets, the scope, the range, the authority, for example, the type of stakeholders which are involved in it and how they're going to work, the communication strategy, even how you're going to communicate when you're working on this particular product and how decisions are going to be made. It's also useful to establish something called breakpoints in which to review and check the progress, when to monitor and check the progress of the project, just to ensure how progress and results can be measured whilst you're doing the project. Right, so once you have the product description, the next thing that I do is start planning the project. Planning is a collaborative activity. It's not something which a project manager goes off and makes a brilliant plan and then submits it after it hasn't been agreed and everything. It doesn't matter how good your plan is as a project manager, if it's not agreed, if people aren't aware of it, then there's no point to it. It might as well be written in invisible ink or Swahili where no one understands Swahili. So really, when you're planning a project, the ideal thing to do is to firstly plan the project plan. So what you have to do is really take into account the time scale, the scope, and you know, the tolerances involved, and really make an overall outline, an overall, what I like to think as a wireframe for the project. So if you take the example of making a house, one of the first things you do, you already have the foundation because you've already done that in the conceptual phase. So what you're doing now is you're designing and you're defining it. I'm using terms actually from the Harlequin process methodology, a process methodology from the GoGo course, ensuring effective project management in the real world. So really, you have project plan is the wireframe. It's the scaffolding of the building. It's what everything's going to be built around. But it hasn't come to pass yet. It's actually what you're going to be planning to do. It's like the architectural drawing of how you're going to do it. So really, once you've agreed the project plan with the client, agreed this with also with the project management team and also any external stakeholders which you'd be working with, any contractors or anyone like that, to get them agree to their particular time which they can allocate to you and their particular resources which they can allocate to you. It's also worth mentioning that when you're working with contractors and really everyone else, it's really important also to be clear on the current progress of the current project. So if you're going to be finishing early and you're going to need them sooner than the original plan, then you obviously need to let them know. They're not bound to help you earlier on, but it's worth letting them know just in case. Alternatively, you also, if the project is running late, you also have to let them know so then they can reschedule their resources towards allocating their staff to your particular project or their skills to your particular project. So really, once you've completed the project plan and the project plan has been agreed, then it's really good if the stage plan is also created. The stage plan is another breakdown of the project plan. So we're breaking it down. So for example, if you take the example of the wireframe, like the scaffolding of a house, like the stage plan would be the sides, you know, what are you going to what material are you going to make the house from? Are you going to make it from bricks? What side are you going to start first? You know, all really things like this. What kind of plumbing is going to be put in? What kind of electricity is going to be wired throughout the walls? Where are the rooms going to be, for example? So that really, really marks out the stage plan. You don't actually need to get approval really by the client for a stage plan. Really, that's really up to you to really communicate this with the project management team or a stage manager if there's one there. It's obviously good for a client to be aware of this and to have a look at it. There's no harm in asking, but it's really, it's kind of, you know, not really their business. What they're really interested in more is the project plan, the overall, when you're going to deliver, for example. It's possible that they might that the client might have a high interest in the project, so they might want to look at the stage plan, which again, yeah, is perfectly okay. This can sometimes result in conflict, even because the client might suddenly swoop in and say, no, actually, you shouldn't do it this way, you need to do it this way, which then really it's difficult to manage. You have to do it like you have to manage it effectively, obviously not further the conflict, not say, you know, come on, this, you stop, you know, please go, you're doing my job for me, you know, why do you have me here if you're going to be doing, if you're going to be, you know, interacting like this. So it's really up to the project manager to really look at this. I've actually done a radio show in managing risk and conflict somewhere else on the GoGo site, so maybe that'd be worth listening to. So once you've done the stage plan on some large projects as well, and in some softwares also, if you're developing some softwares, it's also very good to also develop a work package plan, which is a further breakdown of the stage plan. Right, now this can be done by the project manager. More likely it would be done by a stage manager, really communicating with a particular subset of staff, of stakeholders, which they're going to be working with. Exactly like the client, the project manager doesn't really need to know about the work package plan, but you know, if they can control their influence on it, and they can stop pointifying particular aspects and being too pedantic and being a pain in the neck, then obviously, yeah, it's really good if they are aware of it and they know what's going on. In depicting the plan, there's so many things, so many diagrams out there. The most popular we all know is obviously the Gantt chart, and the PERT chart, and the critical path analysis flow are really the three most biggest diagrams. There are other diagrams. So for example, when you apply it to more specific examples of a project, so if you're doing a software, then there's software engineering aspects, things like Jackson diagram, workflow diagrams, data flow diagrams, entity relationship diagrams, for example, fishbone diagrams, and just general brainstorming as well, that can really help communicate the plan whilst you're doing it. So really, it's worth mentioning actually at this point that when you're doing the project plan, I probably don't obviously need to say this, but when you're doing it, use a software when you're doing it. You know, like 99% of people would most likely use something like Microsoft Project. I have come across some people, some clients who've actually done this in Excel, or done this in even on paper, which, you know, it in this day and age, you should really be doing it in something like Microsoft Project in a specified software, particularly for this. Excel can show it, can obviously depict it, can depict things like Gantt charts quite well, but you know, Excel is a spreadsheet, it's used for accounting purposes, so really, you know, you're using a hammer when you should be using a fork, if that makes any sense to you. So really, after you've prepared the plan, yeah, it's obviously you have to communicate the project plan to your team. As I said before, there's no worth going away doing a project plan and then submitting it and then like leaving it and nobody knows that it even exists. So you have to inform people of what's happening and get agreement from them. So like, this is another really, really important thing. Also, following on from that, the fourth point, which is what I do also, is to agree and also delegate the project actions. This is done after the project plan has been completed and you're actually doing the project. When a particular type of activity is coming, then is when you allocate stakeholders to that particular task. The reason why you don't allocate stakeholders, I mean by your staff or any contractors or things like that, is that you don't know what's going to happen whilst you're doing the project. There's no point at the very start on a 6 month project planning in 5 months' time. I'm going to be using Derek and I'm going to be using Sharon together to work on this particular type of this software procedure, because you don't know if, even if they're going to be with you. You know, I mean, project plans always need to be updated. They're a living thing, they're a dynamic thing, part of the project. So there's no point in allocating them too early. So this is really like the most effective way. So you know, there's certain ways of doing this also, and there's certain kind of stakeholder mappings which you can use in order to allocate the right type of people with each other. There's also other ways of successful delegating, using things like Colby Wisdom, which is a cognitive natural instinct connection, which I think it was developed by Kathy Colby from the States, which is a very, very good thing. It uses people's natural instincts, their natural environments, the type of people who they'd be working with, type of people who they'd get along with, and puts them together. So you know, so you can have the most optimum working team for that particular segment. Don't comment me on Colby, please. I'm not an expert, but you know, I have been in companies where they've used it, and it's been very, very useful and very interesting. Also, there's even a certain type of people, which, for example, is most likely to do everything at the last minute. So they're obviously people to watch out for and be aware of and know that they're going to be doing at the last minute. So you need to manage them a little bit more effectively. So once you've allocated the activity and the activity has become a task, obviously part of successful planning is to maintain it, is to manage and to motivate and to encourage your team in keeping to the project plan. This can be done in a number of ways, using things like daily progress meetings. It can just be, you know, you making a coffee and you see one of the staff there, you have a brief discussion with them, you really try and encourage them and really get more outputs from them. A successful project manager is also, an effective project manager should also really be an inspiration on an effective leader, which really ensures, you know, that they can motivate and inspire their team members to do the best that they possibly can. But there are other ways of doing it. Obviously, like any project which I'm on, I always use something like a daily progress meeting, much like the daily scrum, asking very, very similar questions. So what is your progress? How much have you done? Do you have any current issues? What do you expect to do tomorrow? And, you know, and things like that. And then from that, I can take the progress and really apply it to something like a monitor burndown chart. I mean, I'm not Scrum certified, but I do use aspects of Scrum because they're very, very useful, especially when I've been on software projects. It's been very, very useful to know the exact direction of the progress and when I expect it to end. In some cases, also, you can use a more mathematical approach where you can get predictions from team members on how much hours they've particularly put in, how much hours they expect for that particular procedure to be done, and then you can apply it again to a more detailed monitor burndown chart. So again, just to recap, it's really in motivating your team, it's really a way of connecting to the personality of each team member and inspiring them and understanding their working styles. And also not forgetting managing conflict effectively. With every project, there's always different types of conflict. I know some project managers that even put two opposites together in order to cause conflict, which engages people's interest in maybe competing with each other and things like that. The sixth part I do is generally just to double check that everything is to plan. So everything that is being delivered is in terms with the acceptance criteria, is the type of quality that is being delivered, and everything is really equaling what was specified in the original product descriptions. So like, this is a very important thing to cover and, you know, to go over, and because there's no point in working on something which isn't exactly what you need, isn't exactly what the client needs. This isn't done enough with software, and quite often I think 70% of software fails because the supplier and the developer make something which the client doesn't exactly want. The seventh thing I do is, obviously, you have to complete the project. You know, think about completion, and also give praise and thanks to the project team. This really goes back to, again, inspiring your team members, and also for the next project you do, they'll want to work for you. They'll do more work for you. And then the final thing is really to follow up and, you know, provide any training that needs to be done. Really, like, reflect on what's been done. Like, reflect with the project team. Have an open meeting on, you know, what do they think worked well, who do they think worked well with, and things like that. This can be done, you know, with everyone around the table or individually. I personally prefer everyone around the table, because the more honest people are, the more conflict that can come out, and then the easier you can manage it and iron out any conflict creases. So really, that's really it. So I hope you enjoyed today's presentation. If you have any questions or comments, please use the question and comment box below. If you're interested in viewing my other shows, just search for the GoGo Radio archive for Darren Boy. If there is a show that you'd like me to do, you can let me know by using the question and comment box. Thanks for your time today, and remember to tune into the GoGo Radio, found exclusively on gogo.com.